more of the magnificences in this precious, precious chapter. And I think the Lord made it very clear last week to us, His bride, and by the grace of God, I believe that's us. Do I get an amen? There you go. We're not going to wait around here. We're going to get on in there, so thank Jesus for it. But I know it's kind of like sometimes a deer in the headlight, but we got to get over that. We just got to say, I'm it, and thank the Lord for it. We understand that's what grace has done, and grace has chosen. And we leave that to God and just thank Him for His grace. But by His grace, it's us who believe this. And we thank the Lord. He shows us time and time again, because of this grace that we take, we have His glory. Because that's what His grace brings forth, is glory. There is nothing else that will ever bring forth glory except grace. And that's why, hallelujah, here we have it, the glory of His grace. Praise His name. And it's all Him, because it's Christ in us. It's not us, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen, saints? So we know that this praise and this thankfulness of the glory of God that is in us is not because of us, it's because of Him. All the praise is due to Him. All the thanksgiving is due to Him. It's because of His great mercy. We didn't deserve a thing, but thanks be to God for His grace. I thank the Lord for it. Now, as it says even in the Word of God, not only does she have the glory, but in Revelation 21 it says, and her light. So we thank God that, you know, she's not just a reflection. She's got the sun glory. That's exactly what she has. She's like Him. She's like Him completely. Thank you, Lord. And why? What's hard for God? Can't He transform us into completely like Him? Don't you think when He says that we can grow up and should grow up, and I do believe there's even a will grow up. I'm confident in that grace that He'll perform it. So I'm confident that we will grow to the measure and the stature and the fullness. Notice, isn't that wonderful how He says that? He doesn't just tell you to grow up. He tells you in such detail. And He tells us in such incredible love that it's to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Him unto a perfect man, complete, ready to be offered, ready to be presented. And the most important, ready to be presented by Him to Himself as His wife. Praise His name. But with that, now we can understand why all creation's groaning for that manifestation. Amen? Because God innately put that in them. We saw that with creation, everything that's created. It's in a bondage, but yet in the bondage, there's still the groaning because the Lord's put this hope and a knowing, oh yes, that the liberty of the sons of God, that's all that grace that's with us, is going to free him up. And I just think that's incredible. What the Lord is bringing forth in, again, his treasure. But when we believe this, brothers and sisters, what we're anticipating in our lives and what we're living for, in many ways, and I do live for this because it pleases him. He's going to take the veil away pretty soon. The apocalypse is coming. That means the apocalypse means the unveiling. That's what the word manifestation is in this section of Romans 8. It's apocalypse in the Greek. Apocalypse in the Greek is to take off the veil, to show forth what's there. And now we know that the word of God says it doth not yet appear, and what we shall be. And it doesn't. But we know. See, we know. We know, and the reason we know is because we have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, that's been given to us. And with the Holy Ghost being given to us, the assurance of the Lord, the promise of God, is that He would guide us into all truth. Not some, not a bit, not a part, but all. Now, the superlatives of what the Lord tells us are so beyond our mind. Saying things like that without understanding who's saying them, you would think it's bunk. You would think there's just no way. You think that this is just something to flatter me. This is God's word, and it's yea and amen. These are the promises of God, saints, and they're ours. This is our Father. This is exactly what this is. This is the family that we've been born into by the blood of his son. And it's not just any family, it's the family. It'll be the only existing family that there will ever be, is the family of God. And we thank the Lord for that. And that's the assurance that we have. It's the seed that remaineth. It's a love we can never be separated from. And praise be to God, we only have one life. And that's the life of Jesus Christ that lives in us. There's nothing to be confused here. When you're born of God, you're born of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. And that which is of the flesh is of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. So we thank the Lord. Amen. We know who we are, and we know whose we are. Hallelujah. Now, we await, don't we? And we await with an abounding. There's an abounding thankfulness that we have. And the abounding thankfulness is because this is alive, and even though you can't see it with your eyes, you know it more than anything that you're on a camel train. You are on a camel train, and you know that. If you don't really know that and you don't really understand that, by the grace of God, ask the Lord to enlighten your eyes. I'm telling you, it's time to truly get out of this world and get into, praise his name, get into truly seeing things from that midst of that throne with him. Now, the reason we are bound is, let's turn on over to Romans 15. We're assured of this, and we have this, and we have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Never forget this. Let this just spark your heart. It says in the 13th verse, now the God of hope, not someday, we're not waiting this, it's now. Now the God of hope fill you with what? Some joy? Just joy? All joy. All joy. Once again, this is Paul's alls. Paul was given the gospel of all grace. Amen? Well, all grace has with it all love. It has all truth. It has all hope. And it's got all joy. It's got it all. So thank the Lord. If you ever want a barometric reading, but see, there you go starting to look at yourself. The barometric reading is, do I believe this? Praise God. Well, the beauty of it is faith makes that alive in my life. Sometimes I don't feel it, sometimes I don't see it, but I know. And this is where we thank God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what that is the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is really, truly going to be seen tonight in these couple little verses where the Lord's taken us. But so we're in this state right now, brothers and sisters, a state of complete illumination of sun glory. I believe it. I believe the Lord has taken us to that we understand what our calling is, what we've been chosen for, and this transformation of the sons of God. And the reason is, it's because of grace and mercy that has given us the revelation, and it's the revelation and the knowledge of his love, his purpose, and his good pleasure. All right? His love, purpose, and good pleasure, which is for us to rule and reign with him forever, us to be glorified together with him forever, to be presented, to make known to all that he has loved us. And I'm so thankful to God I didn't miss this. Aren't you thankful? I'm thankful to God. This is what Romans 8 is all about. This is what the Holy Ghost and Romans 8 is all about. And it is. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I know that. But yet some will still be stuck somehow, some way, trying to manufacture that Romans 8 is something about manifesting something of my flesh. That's insanity. As a matter of fact, anything of insanity is chaos. And I know that that would be the enemy trying to divert anything and everything from me resting in the riches of Christ. Thank the Lord. So now let's go on to some more beauty here in verses 26 and 27. And as we approach this, by the grace of God, let's understand that we're still in the thought of suffering together with him to reign. Amen? that it's been appointed unto us. And it has, brothers and sisters. If we're going to reign, we're going to suffer with him. We're going to be met with, and you know this, with infirmities. We're going to be met with infirmities that bring forth the required trials for kings. He's going to prove in us, that we love him. He's not trying to prove his false. He's trying to show you and show me who we are. That's how much and how incredible his love is. Thank you, Jesus. So verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8. Says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, the Holy Ghost itself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, just to really bring that down, and I need it really brought down, the Holy Ghost knows what he's leading to the Father. I mean, he knows. He knows you. He knows the treasure he has. And sometimes we can't even express it. But the Holy Ghost has been searching hearts. And he knows what he's got. And we must be confident in the Spirit and in the Spirit's knowledge and in the Spirit's intercession. That which is of the Spirit is of the Spirit. And oh, are we of the Spirit. Not only the Spirit of Christ, but praise God, the Holy Ghost. And again, when Paul's epistles go forth and they're spoken to, I don't like to use the word assumption, but it truly is for ones that are filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the truth. You could say that really for the whole Word of God, because to really get into the mysteries, it was meant for that. Amen? That's what the Holy Ghost was given for us to be led into the mysteries which were hidden, that the prophets wrote of, but they couldn't look into. But the only one that could unlock that vision and unlock that mystery was the Holy Ghost. So I thank God you could say that for all of Scripture, but especially for Paul's gospel, when he comes out in his epistles, it's truly meant for those who are an assumed, expected, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, so this is the Holy Ghost. And oh, how we need the Holy Ghost. Because it says, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we need the Holy Ghost, as it starts out here in these verses. We need the power. Yes, we do. And we need the comfort the Holy Ghost brings. And as we're speaking of tonight, we're still in that context of suffering. We need power and we need comfort from the Holy Ghost to help us in our infirmities. Oh, yes, we do. And we need them, and we need that power and we need that comfort specifically, brothers and sisters, when we are in our trials, that we're not just praying through our trials, but the Holy Ghost is given to us in how to pray and how to pray in the will of the Lord in our trials. I want you to think about this. How powerful Paul's gospel prays in you through trial. How powerful Paul's gospel prays in you through your trial. It prays in confidence. It prays in joy. It prays in power. It prays in purpose. It prays in thanks be to God. I know what this is for. I don't think it's strange. Oh no, I know what that fiery trial is for. I thank God what it's been appointed for. Hallelujah. You can even see this, and the Lord was showing this to us. And I thank God for all the studies, and I remember when Joe would bring that out about the study of Job. The transformation of Job as he even began to really see, and the Spirit had to touch him to understand that God really wasn't punishing him at all. It was a double portion God was after to give him. And he had to be made weak. He had to go through these infirmities to gather and garner and gain the double portion that the Lord would do. The Lord is always about more. But oftentimes, he has to take away things in our life to give us more. And we understand that. And God does it time and time again. And it is not comfortable, but thanks be to God through the Holy Ghost, we can pray in the fullness of it, and we can pray in that comfort and power when we're full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to take for a moment, and let's reflect what Paul said about infirmities and where all the glory is in those infirmities. Turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So as we're speaking of the Holy Ghost, with the groanings, with the prayer, with the power, all of these different things, let the Lord just tie all this together. Because here's Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go ahead and read verses 9 and 10. And it says there, Paul said, and he said unto me, this is the Lord speaking unto Paul, my grace, Paul, and put your name in there, my grace, Jesse, is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, or in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ. And what is the power of Christ? That's the Holy Ghost. Now we're back to the Holy Ghost. We understand through the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Ghost that when we are brought to this weakened place and the power of the Holy Ghost rests upon us, brothers and sisters, that's the greatest times of our life. That's the greatest revelation of our life. That's the greatest gains in our life, is the times when we are very weak. Now, therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure, I glory in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise God. So there it is, and we thank God that this is, and pointing out to us, the thorns of life are the reason that we have a crown. And that's a fact. It is. It's the thorns. It's those precious, because Paul's praying at this time as he starts this, is he's telling the Lord, Lord, I've sought you three times to take away this thorn. This weakness, this infirmity, this thing that I think is keeping me from being a better Christian. Keeping me, Lord, from really being the man of God I need to be. And the Lord tells Paul so sweetly, son, if I take that from you, you're going to be magnified. You're going to be puffed up. You will think somehow, some way that your flesh achieves some of this. And honey, right there, you're not going to be ready. You're not. And so you can't make that decision, Paul. You can't even see that. But thanks be to God, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is so sufficient, Paul, my grace is going to do it. My grace has already made the choice, Paul. You're going to see this. And Paul, you're going to praise me for it. You're going to thank me for it because grace is going to make that way. And that's exactly what this did. It was grace. Paul didn't come to this great discovery. Grace met him and showed him that. Paul was after something else. Paul was after something that he thought would perfect him in his walk. And grace had to show him, Paul, this is not about what you think. This is not about what you feel. This is not something that's going to bring out your strong points, son. There's the most precious thing, Paul, is how I made you. You've got flaws, honey. And you got flaws that are going to be contrary to religious mind. They're going to be contrary to what you think that your walk going on with me is all about. And son, that walk with me is going to be about one thing. It's going to be about the grace of God that's with you. And if you're not going to praise me for the grace, it's not going to happen. But Paul, I'll tell you what. Grace already knew it. Grace already chose it. Grace already did it. So you know what, honey? Just keep on a walking, because grace is going to do it. And I just love it. That's, wait till Sunday if the Lord gets us there. I'm so excited, because it's all, this is all what this is. He's just showing us who we are in Christ. Now, so we can pray, brothers and sisters, we can pray in full joy. And we can pray in full joy that our infirmities are bringing forth the glory that shall be revealed in us. Praise his name. I'm just telling you, when we feel like we're so caged, when we feel like, oh, I'm anxious, when we feel like whatever we feel, we can praise the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. I wouldn't be thinking about you and the need that I need for you to deliver me, but you're delivering me from me being distracted. You're delivering me right before the throne of grace to just, I got to sit here or I'm going to come apart. Amen. Have you ever been there? I get there daily. Daily, I'm telling you. He really likes me. I got a lot of infirmities. I got many problems, manifold troubles. And I don't have to go looking for them. They're right here. They're right here. You think you have buttons? I'm growing new buttons. You know, I can push them all, you know. And I'm not joking. It's so sweet. I'm learning it's him, what he wants with me. But see, the word, it says here, the word, going back to Romans 8, it says that the Spirit helps. Did you read that? He helps us. And he helps specifically our infirmities. I love that. And what that word help means, he helps lay hold of. That helping means to lay hold of. The Holy Ghost lays hold of our infirmities. The Holy Ghost empowers us in our infirmities. The Holy Ghost enlightens to us the beauty of the trial and the test of temptation. And that is why he's the comforter. That's why he's the comforter. Because he brings the knowing and he brings the comfort. You're going to have trial. You're going to have infirmity. You're going to have things that hit you unawares. But thank the Lord that you know. And that knowledge of what he's doing in his love, it brings us comfort, doesn't it? I can't imagine living my life getting hit by things like I get hit with. And just the things that, and how I'm designed. If I didn't know what the purpose was, I'd be a mess. And God didn't leave me a mess. No, in him, I'm altogether lovely. And it's lovely how this is so beautiful that, Lord, I can be like that little bird. Remember how Brother Hill would say, that little thrush. I can press against that thorn and I'm singing the sweetest song. And that's how the song comes out. It's got to press. It's got to have that thorn. Thank God for the thorns of our life. Now see, it took the Lord and the Spirit. It took the Lord and the Spirit to reveal this to Paul. Instead of Paul praying as he would have and did, Lord, remove the thorn, remove the infirmity. Paul said, praise be to God, keep me in it. Paul got so enlightened in it, give me more. Isn't that something? He did. He said, I glory in them. I glory in them. It's the greatest fellowship. It's the most intimate dwelling that I've ever known with you, Lord, because you're showing me more of the all-sufficient grace. You're showing me more grace. And who does he give grace to? The humble. Think of that. He must increase and I must decrease. And this is how this is happening for all of us, brothers and sisters. And once again, I don't have to try this. I don't have to try to do this, accomplish this, or anything. Because grace does it. And grace is going to do this. I'm telling you, grace is going to do this. We are hearing this message together. Grace is going to do this. Start believing the word of God and get some enjoyment in your sufferings. There's no reason to suffer and not enjoy it. It's the truth, isn't it? Come on. And see, we can smile before God. Say, Lord, thank you. And it's not joyous for the moment, but we know. And we thank God, and we can say together, it is not worthy to be compared, is it? It's not. In our natural mind, that does not make sense. In our natural mind, we'd say it's a lie. But I know it's the Spirit of God in me, and it's impossible for Him to lie. And I know that greater is He that's in me. And I don't question that. I know it because He's told me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Start believing in that life that He put in you. Amen. Be confident in that life because that is your life. That other one that is so unstable and so unfaithful and all of those different things. That's not who you are in Christ. That's not. That's just the precious good fight of faith that we go through. And this is why we need this word to continue to encourage us. But see, brothers and sisters, this is it. Only the Holy Ghost can bring that power. And power is joy in the trial. That's power. The power was the Lamb of God on the cross. Do you see that? Man looked at him as helpless, defeated, done, and all of that. That was all the power. That was all the power of God. Hallelujah. It was. Because it displayed the joy that was in his son. Amen. It displayed, like nothing else could, the love that he has for us. That he would go to that cross. That he would be made sin for us. There was nothing, there will never be anything more powerful. And here we have the opportunity, because of the grace of God, that we can suffer together with Him. It's glorious, saints. That's how He treasures us in what He has with us and what He has for us. Now, the mind of the Spirit is what we're reading tonight. The prayer of the Spirit, praise God, is contrary to man's reasoning or any religious mind, and it misses the depth of grace. The Spirit brings groanings from infirmity. It does. It brings the groaning from infirmity that only the Spirit can express in the mercy of the Lord. I'm thankful to God that He brings me to places I can't express it. Matter of fact, He brings me to places, Lord, truly, there is something I don't necessarily, in a sense, understand, but I know. I come to a place where I can't express it, but the Holy Ghost is telling you. I come before Him with the life of Christ in me, with the power of the Holy Ghost that He's put in me. And I don't know anything, but I know everything is there through the Spirit. I thank God for that faith. I thank God to trust the Lord who He's made me, who that life is in me. And knowing that, praise be to God, that intercessor is making intercession for me constantly. Constantly. Now, let's go on to verse 27. It says, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You think about how purposeful the Holy Ghost is in us, saints. I mean, right there, this is talking about us, this vessel, but every searching, every knowing, every mind, every intercession, every making is the Spirit, and it's according to the will of God. I'm not doing a thing. That's the beautiful thing about the power of the Holy Ghost. He's doing it all. Thank you, Lord. And praise God for it, because you can't do it. But as the Lord says here, the searcher of hearts. We know in the Word of God, it says he's searching the reins, the intents of the heart. But to us who are full of the Holy Ghost, he assures us what is in our hearts, and he reveals to us what is in our hearts. Isn't that something? Well, let's just go with it. Let's go over to Romans 5:5. Let's see what's in our hearts and what he's revealing to us what is there. In Romans 5:5, it says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by what? By us getting excited? By me doing anything? No, once again, it's by the Holy Ghost, which what? Is given unto us. So it's the Holy Ghost that's doing it. It's the Holy Ghost that's been given unto us. And right there, he tells you what's in your heart because of what he gave to you and giving you the Holy Ghost. You got love shed abroad. Thank the Lord for it. Well, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I can love because you gave it to me. And you gave me a geyser full of it that's just infinite. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read verses 21 and 22 about what is in our hearts. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ, so he establishes us, isn't that something? And has anointed us is God. Thank you, Lord. It's God that does it all. Who hath sealed us, and what has he done? Given us, or given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. He's given us the earnest of the Spirit. Not the earnest of you or me, but the earnest of the Holy Ghost. He has put that in our hearts, and he's given that to us. Amen. And you can say, well, this is speaking about Paul. No, it's speaking about me, because as the Word of God has encouraged, and I know by the Holy Ghost and the grace of God, I follow Paul as he followed Christ. And I know it wasn't given unto Paul only. I know it was also given to them that love his appearing. And I thank the Lord that his mercy and grace assures in my heart, I love his appearing. And you are have that same assurance because you have this gospel of loving his appearing. You need to settle down. I mean, really settle down. The Lord would not put you in a message of the proposal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus if he wasn't going to perform it in your life. And that's the truth. You're here. You're not somewhere else. You haven't scattered. You haven't left. He's given you an ear and you're hearing it. And thank God. Thank God. And thank God. So, let's go on now. Colossians 2:2. We go so many different places. But this is the assurance again. So he's shed love abroad in your heart. He's given you the earnest of the Spirit in your heart. You're going to question God? I don't want to question God. I just want to believe him. And here we are together. And this is what we are together. And we are. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Well, we just saw that we have the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We have love shed abroad in our hearts. And that our hearts are comforted and knit together. And that's got to be by the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Being knit together in love. And how is that done? Unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. I believe that's what's going on tonight. Have you heard anything that didn't assure you that you don't understand? No, because that would be unscriptural. You do understand. That's why the Word of God says so many times, you know, we know, we know. It's not get to know or maybe know. You know. And you've come to that point that you know. So our hearts are comforted. Our hearts, and see, this is what's in our hearts. They're comforted. We're knit together in love unto all riches, not some, all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement. We acknowledge together the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The kings know. And here we are, kings, and we know. And I thank the Lord. And this isn't a pep rally or to pump us up. This is honoring God. This is thankfulness to our Father, that praise be to God, the grace of God that called and chose the election of the foreknowledge of God and the predestination of your life in Christ to grow up into Him in all things, to be presented, made manifest, the mature sons of God. Incredible. How could it not be our praise and rejoicing all the time? See, the thing is about God, He knows what's there in our hearts because He put it there. Amen. He put it there. And you know why He put it there? Because He put it there in the new heart that He gave to you. You had to have a new heart. Every king's got to have a new heart. Do you know Saul was given a new heart? Yes, he was. The Lord was for him, but the Lord knew, because grace knew. Grace foreknew who Saul was. But Saul, and I'm talking about King Saul, it says in the Word of God he was given that new heart because he couldn't even begin to reign without it. But that reigning wasn't for him. God knew that he would not go on with it. You see? David was given a new heart. We're given a new heart. And the only heart that's given is his very own. It's the truth. So we thank God that that's what he's given to us. Because see, the Father seeks the true worshiper, the lover, the one that draws nigh in fervent love to kiss his Son. So that one has to be like his Son. Amen. In the measure, the stature, and the fullness of his Son, that full-grown Son. So in that, only the Holy Ghost could bring the mind of the lover into us and reveal to you that you have it. He has to bring you in before the king, right? And the king has to say to you, what's mine is yours. And only the Holy Ghost can bring you to that place. Only the Holy Ghost can meet you at the well and tell you you're it. Tell you you're it. Put the bracelets on and put the rings on and say, let's go. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And then you have to believe by the grace of God that when the Holy Ghost does tell you that and meet you at the well, you're going. You're going. You're it. There wasn't another one. There wasn't number two. There was just that one. The appointments of God are that perfect. They're that exact and they're that real. And they're that real, praise God, to you, because you're not a child. He loves all of his children the same, don't get me wrong, but they all don't grow up. And you understand children, even though they might be of the family, they sure have goofy thoughts. They think that things that aren't true, they don't understand, they don't get it. But the mature ones, they get it. And they come in before their father and they thank him. I mean, they thank him. And I've told you this many times, I'm thankful for the natural father that I was given. And I thank God at an early age, I thanked my dad. And I can't tell you how I thanked my dad. And especially as I got older. And I always thank God every day. Thank you for the natural daddy that you gave me. Now, Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And that's the truth. That mind is only developed on that camel being led to the bridegroom by the Holy Ghost. See, you'll never mature in that relationship with the Holy Ghost unless you're on the camel train in the bridal message going to the bridegroom. And that's the truth. You won't have this thinking. You won't have that renewed mind. You will not have that mind that thinks completely different. And that's the truth. And when I talk about what the Word of God is saying about a renewed mind thinking completely different, that's the mind that goes out from among the camp. Do you understand that? That's the mind like a Joshua that ain't leaving the tabernacle. He's hanging out there. That's it. You think different. Oh man, it's true. Your mind is in the heavenlies. Your mind is where you're seated. You see things from the midst of the throne. You're not looking with the mind up to the throne. By the grace of God, I pray that's where we are looking from all the time. That's where He wants us to see it from. Everything from that vantage point. Praise God. That's the vantage point of ruling and reigning jointly with Him. And it takes the intimate fellowship and the tutoring with the one who has all the things of Christ and shows them unto you. Oh, yes. When we understand and know we are full of the Holy Ghost, it's in the depth of the communion of Paul's gospel. Because it has to be the Holy Ghost that takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you. It's the truth. Yes, we need a pastor. We need a teacher. We need these different things to understand these. But it's not a man that gives you this. It's not a man that's speaking to you. This is the Spirit that's speaking to you. This is the Spirit that's speaking to me. This is the Spirit when we testify that speaks through us. Amen. This is not of man. Just as Paul said, this is not of man that was given unto me. It was of God. And it was by His Spirit. Now. The mind of the Spirit is love shed abroad. And it's all truth. And this mind of the Spirit, then, is a truth in love life. It's a truth in love life that we grow up into Him in all things. Amen. Amen. And you thank Him. See, faith gives us evidence, doesn't it? Faith is the substance. Amen? Think of the evidence and the substance you have. You have what we're reading tonight, the evidence and the substance in you. This is the evidence and the substance. First of all, it's the evidence that you're the bride. And second of all, it's the substance that you're the bride. And the neat thing about the evidence and the substance, it's the same thing. It's grace. You know how you're gathering evidence on somebody? I'm going to gather evidence on you. I'm gathering evidence on the sons of God. And the evidence I keep coming up with is grace. Now wait a second. Then I get the substance of all of the evidence. And it's all grace. It's marvelous. Now, the Spirit is the one, the Word of God says, that searches yea the deep things of God and reveals them to us. And let's close this up tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I hope time has flown for you. I can't believe how late it is. And I would not apologize to you anyways. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll be done right after this. I pray we're in heaven right after this. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We were all there at one time. You know that? I was there. I was there as a child of God thinking, wow, it's going to be wonderful. I wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder what I'm going to see. Oh, I'm going to see Jesus someday. What's heaven going to be like? All those thoughts of what, you know, what is it going to be like? Well, then he brought me to verse 10 by the Holy Ghost. And that's why my skin's not going to stay on my body right now. I mean, my hair's like, But God hath revealed them unto us. See Paul speaking to us, the elect of God, the council. Doesn't that just make your spirit and your heart just perk up in such humility and thanksgiving to God? But God has revealed them to us. I'm no longer stuck in verse 9. I'm in verse 10. Right? I'm part of that us. That's right. For the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Yep, that's true. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And oh, how we've got the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now it's back to what? Have received. Isn't that beautiful? It tells you what you have. It just does. Read it for what it is. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know why we got the spirit of God? To know grace. Amen. To know grace, freely given to us of God. Amen? Praise God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And see, brothers and sisters, this is exactly what this concludes tonight. The Holy Ghost, the intercessor, can make the intercession and makes the intercession according to the will of God. And I pray we see what the Holy Ghost does for us. It causes Christ in us to will and to do of his good pleasure that is in us. This will of the truth in love and spirit and truth and grace and mercy and the riches of glory. Where would we be but for the Holy Ghost? I would be helpless. I would be hopeless. But I'm abounding. And I know it's because of the Holy Ghost. Praise his name. Let's stand and be dismissed.